Ladies and gentlemen, the man who bills himself as Poland's foremost conjurer, the great Tomsoni and Company.
This is going to be a very special episode and one that is not going to be numbered. I'm just going to put this out there because of its immediacy and relevance to the timing of the memorial service we recently had for Johnny Thompson in Las Vegas. I thought it was important to kind of get this out as soon as I can with some of the conversations I had with a few of the guests. I say a few of the guests, there were probably nearly 800 people who had attended this, and I did not think it appropriate that I walk around with a microphone and ask people for their impressions of what in story that they recall from Johnny Thompson. But there were a few people before and after that I thought would be okay to talk with, and so I wanted just to kind of give you a little snippet, I guess, and of what this whole thing was like from start to finish. I also had recorded the entire event, but it was for private use, and I have requested if I could actually publish that, and if I do broadcast that, then later it will be put out here in as much of its entirety as I can. Another reason that I'm publishing this as a unnumbered podcast is because I'm going to let this one kind of roll as it goes. That is, that it's going to perhaps have some explicit content. Certainly, there was some explicit content in the service itself. There were about 18 speakers, and they had a little bit language that may not be appropriate for some, and there might be a few words used in this one that could be considered explicit as well. So I'm going to show that as being explicit on iTunes when I do post this. But nevertheless, I thought that it's important just to kind of let you hear reflections of a few people while I was there in Las Vegas for the memorial service, which was on April the 9th, 2019, at the Penn & Teller Theater in Las Vegas. So, let's get started. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And today we are in Houston, winging our way over via the magic carpet of Southwest Airlines over to Las Vegas, Nevada, to pay our respects to Johnny Thompson, the great Tomsoni. I know that's going to be a pretty full event here tonight. Actually, I got up this morning at 3 o'clock at a 5:30, or I do have a 5:45 flight, so I'm just preparing to get aboard here shortly, but wanted just to post this quick update, just let you know what I'm doing, where I'm going, and I know there'll be a lot of other people coming into town. I know of others for sure who are coming from all over the world to pay their final respects then at the Penn & Teller Theater that is going to be playing host to the event here this evening. They're going to be having quite the memorial, I guess. It begins at 5 o'clock, goes to 6:30. There'll be a reception beginning at 4 o'clock. So I'm sure there'll be a chance for a lot of meet and greet, and that by the time this is posted or you hear this, you'll probably have seen several photos on Facebook and other social media with magicians from all over posting about this. And, you know, just kind of, I guess, to reminisce a bit just for myself on some memories of Johnny. I guess the first time really I got to know him, I met him a few times at conventions, but just in passing, but was at the Magic Island in Houston when he and Pam were working the Great Tomsoni Act for the New Year's Eve celebration there at the island, and I was doing close-up that evening and got to, we weren't on the same stage, we were in the same building working magic and performing. It was a wonderful evening. I'll never forget it, how many people there. There were probably 650 people at the island that evening. Anyhow, time had passed, and we continued to maintain our friendship, and of course, through Banachek, working with him on Criss Angel, and my relationship and partnership with Banachek has maintained that relationship then with Johnny when I'd seen him from time to time when I've come out to Las Vegas to visit, and I never got a chance, though, to sit down and have a one-on-one chat with him, although we had talked from time to time when we did see each other at magic conventions, and oftentimes would have just a few comments here and there, a few clips, if you go go back and do a search for Johnny Thompson, I'm sure that you'll find something and hear something that was on the air that was posted here on the podcast. But nevertheless, quite a guy. He had contributed a lot of great ideas and was a friend to all worldwide, and was a true legend in magic in his own time and will remain so in perpetuity. Well, as I said, I'm here at Southwest and getting ready to go, and I guess it's just synchronicity or serendipity that you know what was right next to my gate, Dunkin' Donuts. So there you go. Had to get that. And I know what you're wondering. Well, what is he eating then today? Well, let's see. We've got usual chocolate. And oh, I thought I'd change it up a little bit and do a Bavarian cream here today. But tell you what, boy, it is right now about 4:30 in the morning. I've got to have some coffee. Ooh. We'll have some hot coffee, but I need that. Get my eye open and keep going. It's going to be a long day, so see you guys on the other side. Until we get to Las Vegas, this is Scotty out. Alrighty, well, we've arrived in Las Vegas, and we are here, and I got the car all checked in, and who do I run into but everyone's good friend, Daniel Garcia, and he's in the car with me. Hey, Danny.
What's happening?
And last time we talked was over in Columbus at the Magi Fest.
Well, I don't think I've slept since then.
I don't.
But you look so young yet.
Yeah, that's just because I shaved my head, bro. You'll see the receding hairline.
And you've been to some other conventions. You went to NemCon, said?
Yeah, so. NemCon, Magi Fest, NemCon. NemCon was awesome. I had a great time. And then I did another one. I forgot where it was. But
where are you performing? Or where are you going to be next convention from here?
The next convention is going to be... I'm going to go do that Costa Rica convention with Vanishing Ink. They're doing that retreat.
Is that a close-up thing?
It's a close-up thing. It's, like, limited to, I think, like, 20 people or something like that in Costa Rica. It's, like, an all-inclusive.
Do I stay here or turn right?
What does it say? You're going to go right.
Turn right. That's what I thought. Okay. Getting directions as we go here, too. Costa Rica, that sounds fun. So that's going to be a limited number of people?
Yep. It's a small, limited thing, but I think they ended up paying this kind of lump sum all kind of together. And then they go in and they do, like, trekking throughout the day. So they do, like, it's magic for half the day, and then the beginning of the day is all, like, different adventures, excursions, and things like that.
Right. Now, the reason we're here, of course, is going to be to honor Johnny Thompson, and you've known him for some time and worked with him, I guess, in the past as well?
Or? Yeah, man. Johnny was amazing. We always talked to each other. He was one of those guys that...
I'm going to turn left or keep going straight?
You're going to turn left on Hidden... It's going to be the next, not this light, but I think the next light.
Okay, I'm going to get in the correct lane at least then. So, you and Johnny.
So, yeah, so he was, we didn't really get to see each other much. We would just kind of run into each other in passing. And every time, man, that dude just made me feel like $1 million. Just, you know, there's not a lot of, like, kind of consultants in the magic world. And he just always gave me really, really amazing. He made my heart shine, man. It was incredible.
I can see where that you two would have a lot in common from the consulting standpoint, certainly, because he consults and you do the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's actually how we kind of started being in contact. He would call me for different effects. I think that might have been it back
you
there.
Think that was
I think so, yeah.
I can whip around. Right, is it saying make a U-turn?
Yeah, oh, it's saying go straight.
Okay.
So he would call, like, for different effects. If they were effects of mine, he would call to see if he could use them on TV shows, or if it was different effects that he had ideas for that he thought that I might have an idea for, he would call. And so it was amazing, man. He was just an awesome guy.
You know, he was just... a fount of knowledge, I guess. It doesn't matter whether it was illusion, stage, close-up, trade shows, whatever it was going to be, that he knew everything about everything. And you are creative in a lot of things you have on close-up. Are there specialty that you feel that you have, or do you aspire to be more like him and kind of being a jack-of-all-trades, ultimately?
I think every magician should aspire to be like that, dude.
Well,
I
that's mean, a good point. that's kind of a stupid question, I guess.
He was incredible, man. But, yeah, I mainly close up and I do, but I think that I've noticed that from everything that I've worked on, that knowledge just continues to grow and grow and grow and never stops, you know what I mean? And so I've used to do stage magic. That's actually what I first did. I did doves and got into kind of designing different larger
You feel more comfortable, or you like the consulting rather than being really on the stage and performing now? You kind of like being the man behind the throne?
Man, I like them both, and I'm really I'm missing performing right now, actually. Yeah. I'm going through a performing bug right now where I'm really, really missing it.
Now, you said you got something you've been working on for a few weeks that you're pretty excited about?
Yeah, man. It's a new trick. Yeah, a new trick that I actually was sick right after Blackpool is what happened. I was extremely sick, and I got like kind of stir crazy in my house, man. I couldn't get out of bed, and so like for 3 days I was like, I need to do something. I can't do this.
Can you tell us the fact, or
it's like a mystery card plot, but like a mystery card plot, kind of like Mintbox almost.
Yeah. How's Mintbox doing, by the way?
It did great. It sold out. It's they're trying to get me to make more, and I'm kind of up in the air.
They're all handmade?
They're all handmade. Yep, by my family.
Wow.
Yep. So
your dad and everybody?
Yeah, my dad and mom made them both. Yeah, they made all of them. I only made 12 of them and sold them all. So
we're sold out. Yeah, sold out Blackpool. So 12.
Yeah, man. No, that was a really good that was a good product for us. It was and that was the first thing that I kind of fully self produced from the ground up, directed, produced it, paid for it, all of it. So it's I was really proud of it.
That sounds great. Well, it's going to be a pretty full night, I'm sure, here tonight with a lot of people coming into town. And you think after it's over, you might go and try and catch a show later, you think?
I think so, man, actually. I don't know if I'm going to catch a magic show. The Fuerza Bruta's in town. They set up a show, I think, at Excalibur's where it's at. And that show is incredible.
What is that?
It's a Brazilian dance troupe. And they have a very kind of interactive show. There's no seats. You're kind of standing in this warehouse area, and everything kind of happens around you. I saw it in New York. Huh. It's amazing.
So is it a traveling troupe?
They were in New York. They had a Redstein.
Or is it like the Blue Man Group where they get a bunch of different...
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so it's... when I saw it in New York, it was incredible. It was one... Blaine's actually... He recommended it. He's like, hey, go see this. I think that's it right there, actually. That tent.
Oh, I see it right there in front of the... it's the Excalibur?
Yeah. Oh, that is it. Yeah. Boom. Yep.
Yep. So it says... How do you pronounce it?
Fuerza Bruta. Brute force, strong force.
Yeah, it looks kind of like one of the Cirque du Soleil tents set up right there.
Yeah,
with
Spiegel tent.
Huh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's great.
One last thing I'm just going to quickly ask about. When is David Blaine going to be having another special? Has he got something he's working on?
Yeah, he's working some stuff right now, man. We actually just kind of started talking about kind of the new things about what's going to happen and... what to plan out. It's always, he's a perfectionist, so it's
sure.
always a
yeah.
That's a never ending, ever changing show. So
and he pretty much surrounds himself with people who are perfectionists like you and others, I guess. You know?
Yeah, man, he's awesome, dude. He's he gets people in there, and just sometimes we'll go in for a week, and it'll be three magicians sitting in a room for a week, just sitting there jamming and talking about ideas.
Fun.
David will be in and out. So
listen, thanks very much.
Yeah,
appreciate
man.
It. And
thanks for the ride.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I think we're almost here. All right. That was from the Magic Word Podcast. That was Daniel Garcia. Scotty out. All right. Well, as we know, we're already in Vegas, and I dropped off Danny. We were safe. No accidents along the way. And so now over with Fielding West in his home, Harry Fielding. How are you doing?
Hey, Scott. Good morning to you. And it's good, really good to have you in for Johnny's celebration of life, which should be a very special event today. What are they saying? 600, 800 people?
That's what I was about to ask you. I had not heard an estimate.
I've heard all kinds of estimates. It started at 500, then it went to 800. And
how big is a theater? How Pennantaller Theater?
Pennantaller Theater is, I believe, 1,500 seats. Mm-hmm. So they can accommodate. Wouldn't it be nice if 1,500 people showed up today?
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of people here in spirit. I've been receiving a lot of posts on Facebook and saying, hey, give Pam a hug for me. I can't be there.
Exactly.
Wish I was there. People are traveling. They're out on cruisers or whatever, and they're working, and it's just hard to get away.
And you're right.
Death is never convenient.
No, and you're right about that. And also, I've been getting messages, emails from people that are on cruise ships, mm-hmm. Wanting me to remember. Can you say? Can you do a shout out for me?
Yeah.
I have a shout out list of about 12 names here.
Because you're actually one of the speakers. There are about 17 different people speaking.
17 different people speaking today. Can you imagine this? I hope, and I say this in all reverence and in all respect to. My mentor and longtime friend, and I considered him more than that, I considered him family. He was just as close to, if not closer than I was to my own family. But I hope it turns into a full-blown roast, because Johnny's the kind of guy, he doesn't want tears, doesn't want people to get up and say, oh, this is the trick that Johnny taught me, and then get all,
teary-eyed
about it and everything. I want to get up and... I'm going to talk about his hair.
The comb over he did?
The comb over with the spray paint and all that stuff. And I'm going to talk about the first time that was revealed to me. And it's a very funny story, but I don't want to tip it here yet. But
well, nobody's going to be hearing until afterwards anyhow.
Okay, so this is what happened. This is what happened. Johnny takes me, and I just met him. And we're in, I'm staying at his house in Glendale, paying rent with my first wife. And Charlie Miller lived in the back. So Johnny says, come on, we're going to my barber's today. And I said, okay. And he's all the way over. Well, my barber's the same one that Merv Griffin has, and he also does so-and-so. And it's a big name-dropping thing for Hollywood.
Yeah.
So we get over there, and he introduces me to this guy, and he was just very elegant. And, you know, so he gets ready, and he says, John, we're going to wash your hair. So John says, so he tips his head back into the sink, and the guy's talking away, and he's talking to me, actually. He says, what do you do, and how long have you known John? And we get into this conversation. I'm working the Magic Castle, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. And he says, okay, John. So now John raises his head up, and there's no hair on his head.
Completely bald, cue ball.
No, but there's a couple of long, long strands.
Okay.
And I gasp. I just could not believe what I was looking. And I jumped out of the chair, and I ran over to the sink, and I looked down in the sink because I thought he washed his hair off is what I thought he did. And there was nothing in there. And I said, oh, my God, John. And then all of a sudden it dawned on John that I had no idea about the comb over, the paint, you know, all the variations, and that was on the TV show that Penn and Teller did called Bullshit. They had a TV show called Bullshit, and they actually allowed John to show this entire process.
Because it takes a long time for him to prepare in the morning.
It's 45 or 50 minutes to get all that together. Yeah. So here I thought, and Johnny starts laughing, and he says, oh, he doesn't know about the paint. He doesn't know about the comb over. He doesn't, and now the barber starts laughing. Uh-huh. And everybody in the place, they knew John, and they knew that...
Everybody knew but you.
Everybody knew but Fielding. So
it was such a well-kept secret.
It was, and I was... But that's how naive I was about grooming and hair products. And now I've got a great comb-over myself. So.
Yeah. And you use that spray, too, as part of your gag.
I use that. Yeah. I do that in my act as a gag. But, that was the first big magic trick that Tom Sonny showed me. His hair disappeared.
And you had known him for a very long time and had worked together, I know, and had been such close friends.
He came to see me. I wanted to meet Johnny Thompson. So what I did was I was at the Magic Castle in 1982, and I went out, and the first thing I did was I had a scarf, and I'd show both sides of it, and then I'd reach underneath it, and I pulled out a bowling ball. And I said, oh, my goodness, this isn't even my act. Because I knew that would get back.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was my way of saying, hey, I want to meet you.
Okay, that's funny.
And people ran
out. Knocking on his door.
People ran out and picked up the phones. That was back when you could pick up a phone and put a quarter in it. And called Johnny and woke him up and said, you've got to get over and see this guy. I think he wants to meet you. And so John says, well, I'm out of town. He says, I'm not even home right now. He says, but I'll be in Vegas next week. And he says, where's he working? He says, well, he's going to be in Vegas, and he's going to be opening for an act. And he said, really? And he says, where is he? He says, he's going to be at the Sands Hotel. So I was over there opening for John Kay and Steppenwolf. Remember the Born to Be Wild?
Yeah.
So I was opening for him, but the night before I was so anxious about meeting him, I went across the street to the Stardust. Banged on his door. He came to the door. I said, my name is Fielding West. He goes, come on in here. I've been hearing about you.
He says,
I know you've been wanting to meet me. He says, I hear you did the bowling ball. You did this. You did that. You have a great sub trunk. You're wearing women's clothes. You're cross-dressing on the top of the sub trunk. Yeah, you lose your clothes on the top. And he said, I can't wait to see you tomorrow night. I said, let's play a joke on Lance Burton. Because Lance said that he would arrange to bring you not only to the show, but then he'd bring you back and introduce you to me. So why don't you get angry that I did your bowling ball trick? And he says, oh, you should see my bowling ball. It's not anything like they described what you do.
Right.
He says, how do you get what kind of harness are you using for this bowling ball? And he said, no, there's no harness at all. It's a rubber bowling ball.
Oh, that's even funnier.
It's even funnier. I said, I just fold it up, put it underneath my arm, and just snatch the thing out when I'm, you know, and then I go like this, and there it is, and I just act like it's heavy and hand it to my assistant.
Yeah.
Then she goes off stage where there's a real bowling ball. She drops it and it rolls, starts to roll back out, and then she comes and grabs that and takes it off. So it kind of gives it a little finish to it.
Right.
He says, very clever. So he says, I'm going to come back like I'm going to hit you. I'm going to start a fight with you in front of Lance Burton, and let's see what happens to Lance.
Okay.
And Johnny says, there's that SOB. You, get over here. And he starts running towards me, and Lance is going, wait, John. And he's got Lance so upset. Then Johnny runs up to me and kisses me on the cheek and says, hey, I think we got him. And Lance says, I thought you said you didn't know each other. And I said, well, I got a little nervous, so I went over and met him last night. And that was how we met.
Wow. Yeah. And what year would that have been, about 80?
82.
Okay. And which hotel were we working?
Sands Hotel.
Sands, okay.
Yeah, and he was over at the Stardust, and he was in that big review show they had over there with Chris Cremo, the famous juggler.
He was doing his Tom Soniak back then.
He was doing his Tom Soniak, and it was just absolutely brilliant. I remember the first time that he comped us in, and we got to see, I'd never seen him. I saw him on Merv Griffin, maybe back in the 70s, and he was doing this mentalism act. Mm-hmm. He had a comedy mentalism act with Pam. And it was hysterical. And he did it on Merv Griffin. But I'd never saw him do the birds. I never saw the bowling ball. I just heard about all this stuff. And, of course, you know that big black, what's that magic book, World's Greatest Magicians?
Yeah, sure. I got that's everybody's got, autograph book. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, I'd seen all the photos in there, you know, of his act, but I'd never seen him do it. So finally I get to see him, and it was just, and what a wonderful... All of my life, he would. We found out that we had a like for. I had an affinity for writing, and he brought it out of me. I did not know that I could construct an actual concept, tell a story, and interject magic into it. So we started with Lance Burton, and we were the head writers for all of his TV shows. So what we would do is, I'd say, what's the order of the tricks on the TV show? And he'd say, okay, he's going to start with this. This is coming. There's a commercial here, blah, blah, blah.
So Johnny consulted on the magic.
Johnny consulted on the magic, and I wrote the dialogue.
Gotcha.
So sometimes Lance had some, he thought his dialogue was better. And, of course, we'd always talk him out of it because, you know.
It wasn't.
Okay. That's not to say Lance Bird's not a brilliant guy because he came into his own, you know, with all of his success and the people that he surrounded himself with. But there in the beginning... So I said, well, what's he going to close with? And he said he's going to come out and do this corner tear on a Variety newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I said, I got it. So I came out and said, Variety's out. The reviews are already in on my show. And he tears off the corner off and he goes, I don't like this one. And he drops it into the paper and he pulls that match and he burns that little seam.
Right.
And bang. Paper comes back, the corner piece comes back on.
It's funny, I remember that line. You wrote that?
Oh, yeah, that. Wow. I can't remember the entire routine, but that was the line that...
Yeah, I remember him saying the reviews are out. I remember him saying that.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
And so I started at the end, and I said, okay, what's the first thing he's going to do? So now I'm on a roll. We go back up, and I do the first, and I said, let's go back to... What's the trick he's doing just before the end? I would go back and forth until I got to the middle of the show, and that's how we wrote all of his material. Mm-hmm. We'd start at the end, then go to the front... And we just go back and forth until we had the whole show written.
Gotcha. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it all tied together better that way.
It tied together, and also it gave me a perspective. And also we discovered a lot of things. And we'd say, you know, this really shouldn't be in this spot. This trick should be in this spot. But I would never say that because my job was to write material. It wasn't to decide how the show was going to be structured. So if John saw something that he thought was partially flawed or could be better, he would go to Lance, and he would be the guy to introduce. I think we need to put this here, and you do this over here. And so, but we worked very well as a team, and we did so well that we wound up joining the Writers Guild of America, WGA.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we did all those TV shows.
Huh. That's interesting. Well, you know, I remember, of course, that his act of Tom Soni had come from his friend in Chicago. Mine just went blank.
Tom Palmer. Yes, absolutely.
It was inspired by that.
Yes, Tony Andruzzi.
When he later changed his name. Yeah. become the bizarrist.
Yeah, you remember all this stuff? Yeah, fantastic. Remember that smoke that he used to have coming out of the coat and everything?
Yeah, but also, do you remember that there was a fire? I think his wife had died in the fire, you know, Tony Andreuzzi's fire.
I didn't know about
that. In fact, he sold off his book collection, some of which were singed, and I've got one of his books. It's got his name on the book plate inside, and the book still smells like smoke, and his book cover singed.
No kidding. Yeah. No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you remember also that he was... he was married to Markham's wife. Markham later married, she was Vampira.
Oh my goodness, you are bringing up I forgot all this stuff. And you kids, do your homework after you hear this podcast. You go out there and you look up these people up because they're all very famous.
Yeah, yeah. But that was a very funny act, and he published that. And I know my buddy... Don Weiberg had done this also with his wife Joyce, and they did it at a convention one time. He was telling me, and Tom Palmer or Tony was in the audience, and he kind of gave him a thumbs up, said, "You got it," you know. And then later, you know, of course, John just made a career of it, and it was a great, great act.
It was a great act, and I always describe Tom Sony, and I think this pretty much hits it, since I knew him probably 35, 36 years, that he was a character actor. He was a true character actor that could do sleight of hand and doves. So he had the expertise of doves like a Channing Pollock, because Channing was the guy, was the dove guy. And that was also, that was John, one of John's mentors, who was Channing, and also Lance. So Lance and John and Channing were a very, very tight little group, because they wanted that dove magic to be absolutely flawless, seamless, and...
So and they were.
Oh, absolutely. All three of them. All three of them. But Johnny took it a step further with the comedy, and he developed that character, that the great Tom Sony. Yeah,
the Polish magician.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. That was so funny. Whenever he would come in, he'd still stay in character, and he would talk for the first time. It wasn't the voice you were expecting.
No, it was not the voice you were expecting. And he was. But here's a character actor that could actually do magic. And there's a big difference between doing sleight of hand and doing dove magic. I mean, it's a level of sleight of hand, but it's, you know, when you're working with live animals, that's a whole nother art form. So
one of the things I don't think that people realize is how far-reaching his consulting work was worldwide, that people would call on him and fly him here and there and everywhere to help them with their shows.
He consulted on television shows. He consulted on motion pictures. He worked with actors in Hollywood that were playing Houdini. I can't think of the young man's name that played Houdini. He was on every set at one time or another as a consultant. Mm-hmm. Plus, people flew from all over the world just to be with him, to get his take, be it illusions, be it close-up magic. And when Lance Burton did his TV special On the Road, Johnny dressed up, and they had a makeup artist come in, put a skull cap on him, glasses, redid his makeup, and because he could do Dave Vernon's voice.
I remember that, yes.
Yes, and so here's Johnny, and we got a side shot, and it appears that Vernon is in the close-up room at the castle, and he's got a cigar in his hand and a glass of scotch and the cards, and he's holding court. Mm-hmm. And you just got a taste of Vernon, and Vernon had just passed.
Yeah.
So now here we were, and Irene Larson was standing next to me, and she grabbed my arm, and she said, "Oh, my God, look. Look, she said, can you see it?" I said, "Can I see it? I'm watching it right now."
Yeah.
This is like Vernon's back. Mm-hmm. And Johnny brought that back to life just for that TV show. Mm. Phenomenal.
Was that recorded? Is that something
on his special? Yeah, it's on his TV special. I don't know if it's going to be shown today or not. They have some videos of John that they want everyone to see. I told Lance, please get over and give a copy of that to Penn and Teller, because that really shows the acting ability of Johnny Thompson. It's not only his magic, but it's his acting ability.
I had heard years ago that he also had done a pilot, and they were trying to sell on a television show where it was a group of magicians or family magicians, and he was like the patriarch of the family or something.
You know, I've heard stories about this. He had a show that he and I were going to do. We did it one time at the Magic Castle for a week, and the name of the show was Up Your Sleeve. Which is a very clever name for a comedy magic show.
Yeah.
Up your sleeve. No, up yours.
Up yours.
Yeah, that's right. So it was so funny. Pam came out and she had a tray, and she was going to do a bullet catch act. And all of a sudden, the lights went out, and the gun went off. And then the lights came back on, and she spit a bullet out of her mouth onto this silver tray. And uh-huh. She goes, "What? You think I could do that?" And it was little blackout jokes like that. Yeah. Extremely funny. Extremely uh-huh. funny.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he did a little bit of everything, and I know that today we're going to be hearing from a lot of people, you know, in Lobsters. Yeah,
18 now. Dave McGee's going to get, yeah. And I, this is the beauty of this for all the people that are listening to this that are not fortunate enough to be at this event, the celebration of life for John. Dave McGee is the only guy I know that can capture the essence of Johnny Thompson's voice.
Yeah,
and he is going to get up and just go off as Johnny. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a real refreshing thing to have on the show. I think that's going to really make it.
Is he going to dress like him also? Probably not.
No, he's not going to dress like him. Yeah. He doesn't have to. All he's got to do is take that mic, put it up.
Well, we just listened to him on the phone there a while ago, too. And I should have recorded that.
He had the two of us on the floor. Should we get him back on the phone?
Let's do that. Yeah, put him over there just a minute. That way people can kind of hear a little bit of what John... Now, while you're dialing him up, Dave McGee had been working with Johnny for a long time, and he does these casino shows that are for Indian casinos up in Oklahoma. And Johnny had been consulting with him for a lot of the mentalism, that he had been doing. And so, anyhow, they had been closed for just a very long time. So, anyhow, here we go.
Hold on, let me go to a quiet place, Fielding.
Okay.
You want to record it?
I got it on right now. Hey, Dave.
It's on right now, Dave.
Whenever you're ready.
Hold on a minute. Let me get to a quiet.
Oh, you're good.
I just finished walking out of a cafe. Hold on.
Well, we just finished breakfast ourselves here a while ago.
Let me get over here.
There you go.
This is much quieter. Okay. Now, what is the deal?
Just turn on Tom Sony.
I wanted to hear some of your Tom Sony accent.
Oh, just to do it out of the blue?
Well, maybe some of the stuff you're going to be talking about this evening. Since this is not going to, this is recorded now, but it's not going to be played until after this. So if you want to talk about, give a rehearsal of what you're going to be talking about tonight, then go ahead. You can say that now.
Johnny ever came to my home. We'd known each other for years, but we'd never had any traveling experience for this to happen. And there was no need for him to ever ask. So he went to his suite, the guest suite, and I went to close the door, and he looked at me. He goes, "Dave, what time is rehearsal, pal?" I said to Johnny, "It's at 9. "Oh, shit. You're going to have to get me up at 6. I was thinking to myself, 6 o'clock? My God, 6 is 3 hours. My wife gets ready in an hour and a half. But 3 hours, so long story short, I go to close the door. I said, "Johnny, I'll meet you in the morning. I'll have your coffee when I wake you up." "That's great, pal." And I went to close the door, and he stops, and he pulls it open. He goes, "Hey, Dave, you do know that I wear a hairpiece, right?" And what am I going to say? What do you say to that? I say what I think everybody would say. I just said, "What?" And he goes, I know. It's one of the best. Nobody knows." Oh, my God. Johnny, that's unbelievable. "Yeah, I get the guy that makes it hurt blank blank that we all know, and I won't say a name." And I'm like, "Wow, that's amazing." He goes, "So don't be shocked in the morning if you open the door and Peter Boyle's waiting on you." And I said, "Wow." So I go to bed, get up the next morning. I'm knocking on the door to wake Johnny up. No answer. And I hear the TV blaring. See, I never knew this stuff about Johnny, and of course, that gets into a whole other story with Johnny. "Yeah, Hayes and I traveled. We were performing people, and we'd be sleeping during the day, and the kids and shit were running up and down the hall. And I we'd go to sleep, turn the television on. So that's how we do it." So I'm like, "Okay." So I'm beating on the door, still no answer, and I'm thinking, "Oh, great, I'm going to be the guy known that Johnny Thompson died in his house." No answer. So I finally open the door. There lays Johnny. Another thing I never knew about him. I guess Fielding probably did. There lays Johnny, just pure Johnny, nothing but Johnny on top of the bed. And I'm like, "Oh my God!" And I close the door and I beat on him real hard. "Johnny,
yeah, pal, I'm up.
And he grabs a robe, comes to the door, and looks at me. I swear, it was unbelievable. He looked just like Peter Boyle, and I started laughing. He goes, "I told you, give me my coffee, you asshole."
Also, the thing about him was he'd take his teeth out at night to sleep. So now you've got no hair, no teeth, and
the full Johnny.
And Johnny sleeps.
No eyebrows.
Johnny sleeps in the nude, which is another scary thing. So.
Oh my God! It was very. Let me tell you, it was very scary.
Disturbing.
But yeah, the thing I missed the most was when you would say to Johnny, anybody that ever worked for him, building knows this. Anybody that ever worked with him or had him work as a consultant, this would always happen every time. You would question something, and you dared not question something. Well, Johnny, that seems a little dated to me. I don't know if it's going to work for me. And he'd throw the hands up, and he'd turn his, you know, leaned over, and he'd turn his back, and he'd turn and look at the group and go, guys, I got to tell you, what the fuck do you have me here for if you're not going to listen to me? That was the greatest. You'd hear it every single time.
Yeah. Sometimes 4 or 5 times a day. Listen, that was wonderful.
Yeah,
thank you.
Great. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you so
all
much,
right.
Buddy. Appreciate
love you guys.
It.
Bye-bye.
See you soon. That was good.
Yeah. He cracks me up. But that's Johnny, I'd seen him do that 100 times. Teller used to have fun with him. They were working on a play. Johnny says, this chair has to be right here. So he put the chair, and Johnny goes sit in the audience, and Teller would walk over and just take the chair and move it an inch left or right. Johnny would get up. No. He'd come back over and move the chair back. Teller would wait for him to get back and sit in the seat. He'd move it an inch. And he would start to screaming, yeah. If you're not going to listen to me, why do you want me here? And,
yeah.
And Teller was doing it just to hear him say that. You know, so.
That's funny. Well, I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot more stories about Johnny then, too. So thank you. Appreciate you guys sharing.
Thank you, Scott. I'll see you at the event today.
All right. And so that was Fielding West and Dave McGee. Scotty out. All right, as a follow-up to what we were talking about in the conversation earlier, just to clarify just a couple of things, as Fielding and I were talking earlier, that it had something to do with what he had actually done as far as his participation in contributing to the script writing on Lance's show, but he wanted to clarify that a little bit. So, Fielding, you want to chime
in
there?
Yeah, clarify that. I always like to take credit for writing the entire thing.
Of course.
But as Lance has pointed out to me, that gives the wrong image to young and new writers. So let me just say this to all of you people that are listening to me right now. I was involved with all of the writing, but I was a contributor. I take full credit for writing the special that Lance produced for me called Hocus Pocus, It's Fielding West. And that was 100% Fielding West writing. The rest, I was a contributor, additional materials. And I was always grouped with Johnny Thompson, which was a great honor. So I was with Johnny. Lance had pointed out to me some of his earlier specials were written. The person that actually got the writing credit was a guy named Turk Pitkin, who is a good friend of yours from Texas.
Right.
And also from Austin. And by the way, a great writer. So I don't want to take anything away or give the wrong impression, which I have. So I just want to redact that if I could. And just say, hey, I was involved in all the writing sessions, came up with a lot of the gags and ideas, and even an allusion that Lance gives me credit for the beginning of Lance Burton on the Road, that opening scene with the bus appearing. That was not exactly the way I wanted it to be done. I had a different idea, but he took my idea and created that bus being appearing there on the desert. So I'll take that credit.
Now, you're talking about the TV show that he had when he did the roller coaster escape?
No. I was on all of those. I was at the roller coaster escape down at Prim, Nevada, when he actually shot that. He did several specials, okay? But he had Lance Burton on the Road. He had Lance Burton Young Magicians. And on Young Magicians, Johnny Thompson and I worked with the different performers to take their act, which was usually 10 or 15 minutes, and to try to boil it down into 3 to 4 minutes so that they could get a nice shot on television. And Johnny and I worked with all of the acts on that show so that could happen.
Yeah, And that was a great thing, too, to give these guys a great shot. And as I recall, didn't some of those young guys actually end up working with Lance on the Monte Carlo stage?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I know that a lot of those guys went on to be very famous magicians. Mm-hmm. Joshua Jay comes right to my mind. And Christy Taguchi, who's still doing magic and also doing acrobatic work and contortion work. Who's the other fella?
What year would that have been?
Joel Ward.
Oh yeah, Joel Ward. Sure.
Spencer Horseman, the
working supernaturalist, the escapist.
Yes. So a lot of these people that came off of that show did very, very well for themselves in show business.
Yeah, that's great. Well, good. I'm glad that you had the chance to kind of correct the record there.
Yeah, I do want to correct the record, and it's not right for me to say that I wrote, and of course, I don't know why I would do that sort of thing. We're not even doing, we're not even having drinks tonight, so that might have been part of the barroom boasting. But I want everyone to know that, in all respect to my good friend Lance Burton, I was there at all of these shootings, and I participated. And a lot of I contributed to a lot of it, but I did not, I was not the head writer, and I did not get credit for being the head writer, but I definitely contributed a lot to the head writing.
Great. Good. Well, thanks very much. Appreciate that feeling. Appreciate you clearing it up.
And I want to thank Lance, for pointing this out to me, because it's just not fair to other performers and up and coming people to hear somebody of my caliber, start, you know, rambling that I'm taking credit for all this stuff. Don't do that. Do not do what I do. Do what I say.
There you go. I like that.
Okay. This is over the magic. Thank you, Scott, and thank you, Lance.
You bet. Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty Allen. All right. Well, the service is over. The celebration of life had a lot of people. Looked like about 400 or 500 people who were there. Now we're over at the bar. I really didn't think it was appropriate to walk around and start talking to people about their recollections. However, now that we are kind of afterwards, service, I had a chance to talk to a couple people. So I got Nick Lewin. Hey, Nick.
Hey, you've got a Texas trio here.
There we go. And, of course, then Ray Anderson.
Hey.
From Austin. Both these guys from Austin. I know. You can tell that Nick has that Austin accent.
I know. You thought I was from Waco, but no, I'm from Austin.
And of course, that Ray is my favorite magician you heard me talk about all the time on the podcast. So since we're here to honor Johnny, so tell me a couple of recollections about why that you're here. What do you think about Johnny?
I've known Johnny for 45 years, and he's the passing of Johnny. So much knowledge has gone from magic that will never be replaced. I mean, he was just a very, his knowledge, it was the breadth of it. It went from my favorite memory. Was at a house party. We gave a party for Magic Christian from Vienna. We had a big house here in Vegas. And at some point, I think Johnny and I went to the back room, and Billy McComb came with us. I got to sit there, and Johnny had a question about a manipulative prop, a dove act thing. And he said, "Oh, I want to, Billy, tell me this, you know, what?" And Billy said, "Oh, you mean so?" And then they went back. They went forth. I was in the middle. My head was going side to side, looking at each of them talking, as if I was in the center court at Wimbledon. And right. They went through where this illusion came from, the ways it was amended, the way it was adapted. And then eventually, Johnny just said, "Right, thank you, Billy." And I went, wow, because it amazed me that John would take something that Billy said as being definitive. And then I went, oh no, it might be either any day, it might be either one. But seeing that interchange of knowledge, that was one of my favorite moments. There's a lot. I didn't know John as well as I would like to have done, but every time we ever met was wonderful. I think when I, okay, here's a good story. I was doing a show with the juggler Daniel Rosen, and it was a great show, and we were doing a two-man thing, and he was very hot, going back to the 80s here, and then he had a girlfriend who was incredibly talented, who was going to join in the show, and she played the female assistant part. We did rehearsals. It was quite complex, and I had a booking at Bally's at the old Catch a Rising Star, and so we were coming in, and we got to the dress rehearsal when Daniel's girlfriend slash our assistant put on her actual costume, and she put on a blonde wig and a bustier dress, and I thought, well, oh, she'd got this strange character Fluffy, who she'd done, who was a dancer, you know, over the years, and she put, I went, oh my god, it's Pam Thompson. And you know, and I went, oh, and then word kind of, I said, well, you're not going to, you can't wear the wig. And then I realized, never mess with a 4'11" dancer, choreographer, actress.
Hey, Rocco. Hey. So Rocco's here just a second. Oh, yeah. So say something about Johnny. We're talking about him. What can you say?
Well, I tell you, when I was 19 years old, my first book was that black book, Stars of Magic.
Yeah, right.
Vernon was in it. Copperfield was in it, Norm Nielsen was in it, Shimada was in it. I was so green to magic, and there was Johnny Thompson.
Yeah.
So now I read all the books. Every time I met one of the guys, I get nervous. So my first time performing at the Magic Castle, Johnny Thompson comes backstage, taps me on the shoulder, makes me feel real comfortable, and he says, hey, come on, let's go outside, let's have a little smoke. We had a smoke together.
Yeah.
We talked, and I was just saying, I can't believe it, that I'm meeting the guy that was in that book. I kept saying over and over and over again. And he's,
what year would that have been about?
1987.
Okay.
The year that you guys had a smoke.
We had a smoke.
Yeah.
That's right. We had a couple in Atlantic
tonight,
City.
You know, that he used to smoke.
You know,
ago,
we yeah, we smoked together.
You don't smoke anymore either, do you?
I do.
I mean, you do in the show.
In the show, I do. Okay. I still do. I quit every day, but I get back to it every day. I hate it. Hey, you're, keep up the good work, man. You're a great inspiration to magic.
Thank
and
you,
good
Rocco.
Good luck with Magic Island. I'm going to see you at Fectors.
Okay, I'll see you in a couple
I got
weeks.
Something new for everybody.
I'm
yeah.
looking forward to that
hey,
always.
Yeah, in the clear chat.
Right.
Okay,
right.
You
You're
got
my buddy.
It,
I'll shake your
Thank
hand.
You. All right,
buddy. I'll see
Bless
you.
Bless you both.
Okay. Well, Ray just went to the restroom, I think. He's oh, here he comes. He's coming back.
Oh, that's an introduction, if ever there was one. Direct from the restroom.
Direct from the restroom.
You're going to edit this.
That's right.
Although, I know better than to talk on a microphone after I've had a drink.
No, have another.
Have that second one that's waiting for you.
Yeah.
I've only had four, so I'm doing fine. So, your story about Johnny.
Gosh, it's hard for me to tell, like, one story. I'll just say that, you know, I met Johnny, it's probably 30 years ago. I met him through Tom Mullica and Stephen Mullica, who had, we were good friends, and they had just come back from working in Paris at the Crazy Horse. And we're living with Johnny and Pam in Burbank, in their little house there in Burbank. And I came out for a visit. Had no idea who they were talking about when they said they're staying with Johnny and Pam. And this guy opens the door, and it's Johnny Thompson, who, of course, I knew exactly who he was the minute I saw him. And he welcomed me into the house, but then immediately sat me down on the front couch there in the front room and began to question me about my knowledge on magic, which is nothing more intimidating than that. But he didn't say anything for a long time, and he would just nod when I'd give the answer to whatever his questions would be, and he must have asked me about 20. And then finally at the end, he got very silent for a second, and he just said, you'll go far, kid. And that was my introduction to
Johnny.
What
year would that have been about?
God, I would say probably, you'd have to ask Steve, but probably around 89, maybe, or 90 at the latest. Yeah, somewhere in there. And,
were you working at Esther's Follies at that time? Or
I was working there off and on, yeah. But
you weren't regular.
I wasn't there all the time, I don't think, when I first met them. It may have been earlier than that. It may have been in the late 80s, maybe, that was. So I'm not very good with years, so okay. They all run together to me. But
as we get older.
But that was my introduction to Johnny and Pam Thompson, and it just was a great weekend. That first weekend, and hanging out, getting to know them. And
just you had other interactions with him then as well, suggesting some things that you should do for your show?
No, Johnny and I hardly ever talked about magic.
Really?
No, we did not have that relationship. Okay. No, we were friends. And I know that he was a magic icon, and he's the best magician I've ever known. But Johnny and Pam were friends of mine, and the fact that we were both magicians really didn't play into it all that much.
I know you know Lonnie Chevry, of course, up in Texas, in Abilene, and I was working with Vanacek, and he was consulting for Chris Angel at the time and on Mind Freak. And I'd come out here to Vegas and spent some time for a week with him as they were doing some shoots. And I remember talking to Johnny, and we were all sitting around. I showed Chris this bill trick that Lonnie Chevry had just taught in a lecture not more than a week ago. It was a great trick. And Chris said he liked it, but he didn't do it in the show or anything. But Johnny said, that's the best bill trick I've ever seen. So I got to tell Lonnie Chevry.
That's,
you know,
pretty high praise right there. Right. Yeah.
I said, well, it's not mine. It's Lonnie's, you know. But Lonnie's got some good stuff out there. Well, anyhow, this has been really great, you know, as far as the what they've done and the people who have been here to honor him and the videos that were sent. I mean, it's supposed to be about an hour and a half. It lasted about 2 hours, and it was just really great.
It was a wonderful event, and I thought a lot of people spoke really movingly at it.
Wonderful event. Everyone did so well.
I think in some ways, in terms of moving on the message that he had, Mike Caveney and Jeff McBride both said things that I thought really incorporated a lot of Johnny's qualities, and I appreciated that. I always think it's nice when people are that exact when they're at a tribute.
And when James Randi had come out, and that seemed so emotional when he said, you know, that Johnny kissed him on the head and called him Jimmy, and he said he's the only one who called me Jimmy.
The only one who called him Jimmy, absolutely. Yeah.
That was really great. Well, listen, guys, thank you very much. I'm glad you're here. Thanks for your comments. Thumbs up from Ray. Okay. His mouth is full of
it. I was going to say it amongst the Texans, remember the Alamo. Particularly the basement.
That was Nick Lewin and Ray Anderson, Scotty out.
Well, that's going to actually be a wrap for this podcast. As I said, I didn't really get around to talk to a lot of people other than just the few that you got to hear here, so that would just kind of, I guess I could have had more conversations and shorter snippets, but I thought some of the conversations we had, although a little bit crude in some cases, but again, that was just Johnny, and I wanted you to get the full impact of what it was like there. For those of you who wish you could have attended but did not, or for those of you who did attend that would like to go back and listen again and see some of the people who spoke, there is a video link that was recorded there at the Penn & Teller Theater since they had high-quality equipment, and you can go over to tomsoni.co in order to see that information. That should be up and available, I believe, by April the 13th, and again, that's tomsoni.co, tomsoni.co, and there should be a link there soon, and by the time you hear this, it should already be up. And if not, then come back to that website later and you can watch that. It was about 2 hours long, and again, about 18 speakers, and it does everything that you would like to see and hear, I'm sure. So be sure to go over and tune in onto that. In the meantime, that I would like for you to keep up with us also by just subscribing to our newsletter. We send that out each week. It's absolutely free, and it lets you know who's going to be on from week to week, who's on this week and who's going to be coming up next week, and also suggestions from the archives as to who perhaps that you might have missed and like to go back and hear again. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and thank you, Johnny, for all the memories. Scotty out.
Good night!